You're listening to WJRH 104.9 FM Lafayette College Radio, Eastern Pennsylvania. This is Remix Tape.
One evening as the sun went down and the jungle fire was burning, down the track came a hobo hiking, and he said, "Boys, I'm not turning. I'm headed for a land that's far away, beside the crystal fountains. So come with me, we'll go and see the Big Rock Candy Mountains. In the Big Rock Candy Mountains, there's a land that's fair and bright, where the handouts grow on bushes, and you sleep out every night. Where the boxcars all are empty, and the sun shines every day. On the birds and the bees and the cigarette trees, the lemonade springs where the bluebird sings in the Big Rock Candy Mountains. In the Big Rock Candy Mountains, all the cops have wooden legs, and the bulldogs all have rubber teeth, and the hens lay soft-boiled eggs. The farmer's trees are full of fruit, and the barns are full of hay. Oh, I'm bound to go where there ain't no snow, where the rain don't fall, the wind don't blow, in the Big Rock Candy Mountains. In the Big Rock Candy Mountains, you never change your socks, and the little streams of alcohol come a-trickling down the rocks. The brakemen have to tip their hats, and the railroad bulls are blind. There's a lake of stew and a whiskey too. You can paddle all around them in a big canoe in the Big Rock Candy Mountains. In the Big Rock Candy Mountains, the jails are made of tin, and you can walk right out again as soon as you are in. There ain't no short-handled shovels, no axes, saws, or picks. I'm a-going to stay where you sleep all day, where they hung the Turk that invented work in the Big Rock Candy Mountains. I'll see you all this coming fall in the Big Rock Candy Mountains.
Hey, it's Remix Tape, and we're here with our special guest today, and I'll let him introduce himself the way he would like to introduce himself.
I appreciate that. My name is Liam O'Donnell. People might know me if you're from Lafayette, because I used to work here. You might also know me if you heard about this, because we posted about it from cinepunks.com, the Horror Business Podcast, the Eric Roberts is the Bleeping Man podcast.
There you go. No obscenities on this radio.
No, we edit. We don't edit our t-shirts, but we edit.
Bleep it out, but include it.
Yeah, sure.
That's the good thing about bleeping. Yeah. Cool. And so you live here in Easton.
I do.
You were once affiliated with Lafayette. How do you affiliate yourself now? Do you consider yourself an Eastonian?
My feeling from lifelong Easton people is that you need to live here for a very long time before they consider you an Eastonian. Mm. We've only been here for, I think, 4 years, maybe a little less. I'm not sure. So I still think of myself as a Philadelphian because that's where I was born. I lived there on and off for a long time.
Yeah.
And it's sort of the place I know the most. But I don't consider that a permanent state of being. If I were to move someplace else and live there long enough, I guess I would eventually adapt. Hopefully those places would be San Francisco, Austin.
The cool places.
I guess Seattle seems okay.
All the expensive cool places you've now listed.
Is that right? What are the less expensive cool places?
I don't know. Louisville? That's my dream.
Really? Louisville?
It's rad. It's full of rad hippies.
Here's what you gotta understand about Louisville. My wife is a Presbyterian minister.
Oh. They don't have that there, or they do?
The headquarters of PCUSA is in Louisville. So,
move there.
Oh, my gosh. You know, there was a time in the 90s, since this is a music show, where if you said Louisville, there was the Louisville sound. Louisville had its own punk community. They had Crazy Fest, Crazy with a K, Initial Records. There were a lot of bands from there. But I was there recently. It seems okay, but that whole community doesn't seem as poppin' as it once was. So I don't know how.
No, it no longer has that punk scene anymore that produced bands like Slint This is a band that has been covered on the show previously by a super fan guest. But yeah, it's chill. But I like how it has this rad recent history, but people are kind of chilled out, you know? And actually, it's more of a singer-songwriter kind of like folky. Like, Bonnie Prince Billy is there. That's kind of, I'm obsessed with him, which is why I want to move to Louisville.
I will say, driving around Louisville, there were a lot of tattoo shops.
Right. It's out of control. Yeah.
It's got a little bit of that, like, this is a cool place, but we're not, like, pop advice. You know what I mean? Like, I guess,
yeah.
I guess the way that maybe, like, Austin was, like, 20 years ago before it became, like, a joke, you know?
Yeah. Poor Austin.
Yeah. That's I still smart. Love it. I still love to visit it, but I don't know if I actually want to live there.
I've only been there once. Okay. Let's transition.
Okay.
Very quickly to your mixtape. Okay. To the subject of our hangout today, our radio hangout, which is your mixtape. So you came on with a theme. You have called thugs, thieves. Is that right?
No, I think it was. Hold on.
I got it wrong.
No. Well, I kind of did too. Thugs, delinquents, and ne'er-do-wells.
Yeah, awesome. So why did you choose this theme? How did this arise?
So this actually came a little bit from some specific songs that I had on my mind. For example, Hell Yeah by Dead Prez. A song for Dennis Brown by Mountain Goats,
mm-hmm.
and Don't Get Stopped in Beverly Hills from the Beverly Hills Cop soundtrack. And these were all songs that were sort of bouncing around in my brain a little bit, as well as a bunch of recent events when we actually were having coffee and you talked about Breaking the Law.
Mm.
And we won't even go into that, but it got me thinking about this as a theme and something that I've sort of been thinking about for a while, which is like the way we think about criminality and the way we think about criminal justice. One of the things I helped with on campus was Criminal Justice Week.
Mm.
And that really comes from a place of, I mean, there's a lot of things going on there that we'll talk about as the playlist goes, but the first thing that comes to mind is, you know, Black Lives Matter as a movement kind of started with this conversation in Ferguson. And when Mike Brown was basically murdered by police, part of the conversation was around whether he was a thug.
Right.
And I remember at the time thinking, besides the fact that that seemed a ridiculous thing to say about a young man, I remember also thinking, and what if he was? Like, the idea being that criminality, since it's somehow an anthropology, or even in some cases it's presented as like ontological, like a part of who you are, that therefore the fact that he was unarmed and clearly surrendering was irrelevant because he was one of these, I hesitate to even say people in the way that we represent them.
Yeah.
And that's weird for me because I grew up with lots of people who broke the law.
Sure.
I know people now who continue to break the law.
That's right.
And being a criminal seems to me to be a choice that's fraught and that is dangerous and that probably could encourage you to be cruel or to do things that were morally questionable in a deeper sense, but that the act in and of itself of breaking the law is, to me, somewhat irrelevant.
Yeah.
And so the playlist sort of came from this idea of like the representation of both the law, the community the law comes from, those who break it, and those who enforce it. So yeah, there's more I can say about it as we go along. One of the things is a lot of people gave me suggestions for this playlist.
Cool.
Most of those suggestions did not make it onto the playlist. So apologies in advance if you're listening. I'm going to make a playlist public after the show where I include all the things I couldn't include because of language or content or thematically didn't fit. Some people really wanted me to put on a really sad murder ballad, which doesn't exactly work for the theme, though I do like those songs.
Yeah. That's cool. So we will be talking a lot more about this theme and how it interacts with each of these choices.
Yep.
But so what is the first song that we heard? And then we'll hear another block of songs.
So Big Rock Candy Mountain, a lot of people know it from the Oh Brother Where Art Thou soundtrack, but it was a pretty popular folk song in a few places. And for me, it was the first song I heard that wasn't hip hop that sort of acknowledged the idea that the police and the law and the system of order is kind of life denying. It's really a song in which it's like, if there weren't all these rules, we could just live. And yeah. Of course, there was that situation, a term that should not be used for actual people who don't have a home, hobo, originally represented migrant workers, right? People who traveled to do farm work across the country. And these folks, much like the Roma community in Europe or a variety of communities around the world, because they didn't have actual roots in a community, were treated, again, much the way that we think of criminals now. There was something about who they were as a person that was bad or wrong. And so that song to me just represented that hope, and hopefully is a little more approachable than some of the other things. What's interesting when you're talking about criminality is that it's an issue that is both class, that is social, but then is also very tied to race. Mm-hmm. And thug has become a racialized term. And so there's definitely an inclusion in this playlist of black music and of urban specifically music. But starting with the hobo song kind of lets us get into the reality of, like, this isn't a new modern city thing. Mm-hmm. This has been a part of American culture for a long time.
Yeah. Cool.
The next song.
Yeah, so what's the next thing we'll hear? And then we'll hear a bunch of other stuff, and then we'll come back.
So this is Across 110th Street by Bobby Womack. You might know it from the movie Across 110th Street, or from the movie Jackie Brown, where it starts off the movie. Or you might be a huge Bobby Womack fan, in which case, much respect.
So let's hear this and a few more, and then we'll be back to talk with Liam about thugs and ne'er-do-wells. Okay, this is Remix Tape.
Across 110th Street, pimps trying to catch a woman that's weak. Across 110th Street, wishes won't let the junkie go free. Oh, across 110th Street, a woman trying to catch police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the beast. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the beast. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the beast. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound.
This is Remix Tape again, and we're back with Liam and his mix.
Oh, hi.
So what did we just hear?
So first we, as I said, across 110th Street, which I think was important for me to choose for a couple reasons, one of which was that it kind of sets a setting. We were sort of talking about this off mic, but thinking about the ways that we think about crime and we think about the people who might commit crimes, that's not intended to necessarily lessen the impact of being a victim of crime as someone who's been jumped and stuck up before. It's no fun. It's more about like understanding why people might make those sorts of desperate decisions and understanding that not all, I mean, we kind of just say criminal and, you know, the Austin bomber and a kid who lifts your wallet are not the same in any sort of understanding. So right. I think Across 110th Street sort of paints a picture. It's not exactly sympathetic to crime, but it's a little more understanding. But it also sort of points, it sort of switches gears from the hobo song to a more urban environment, which I think was worth doing. And then Sound of the Police for me sort of sets up the string of songs we have going on next, which is a lot of songs about the police in various ways. Mm. And I think I didn't want to do, I mean, I could have done an hour-long playlist of songs about the police.
Could do police mix.
Yeah, exactly. I could just do weird sting songs. No, I'm just kidding. But, but the idea being is that we could have just focused on that. That's not all I'm going to focus on, but I do think it's important to think about how you understand people who commit crime might be affected by how you view the law and those who enforce the law and how the law works. And so those songs sort of, I think, are important. And it was actually really hard. I'll probably reference the songs I can't play a couple times, but it was hard to choose between Sound of the Police and CIA, which is a song with Karis One, Zach De La Rocha, and The Last Emperor. Mm. And CIA paints a little bit grimmer picture of the way that the police also are the ones in a lot of communities, at least in the 80s and 90s, that were pushing crack. In fact, the CIA and bringing crack into the country, cocaine into the country, and sort of this relationship between the the situation of Black Americans and sort of as an internally colonized people. But, you know, Zach De La Rocha is kind of whack, so it was easier to choose Sound of the Police, even though it's not as direct of a voice on the larger picture. It certainly sets up the question around how do the police function? And for me, this was part of my thing of thinking about this is like, do the police actually provide security or protection or whatever, or how often are they mostly functioning to protect property or to protect the rights of people with wealth?
Yeah, and I think it clearly depends that maybe both are true, but it really depends on which group is receiving which kind of protection.
Right. I mean, it's not that there aren't functions that the police are asked to do that aren't important, but then they're also asked to do a lot of things that
And that their aren't. Job isn't important, which is like a difficult thing. That there's such a thing as the police with a big P, and then police officers who are human beings,
sure.
sometimes engaged in their work. And I know this is a big debate about supporting the police right now.
Right. I mean, my inclination is to think that part of the reason the job is so difficult is because we want too much. Like, what we want is a social worker and someone who can protect us at all times, which is actually impossible, and a master yeah. Sherlock Holmes. And, like, a lot of times, these people can't be all those things.
Right.
And at least in the city, there's a lot of community interactions that police could be trained for that might be more important than pulling a gun, you know? And it's interesting, right now we're having this intense gun debate
right.
across the country that no one's mentioning. Like, we could also disarm a bunch of police officers who don't actually need guns for their everyday interactions,
right.
but we require them to know how to kill people.
Yeah.
So.
And the training that they receive, it seems, over the years, there's been a lot of journalistic coverage of this. The training that they receive, you know, I think should make us suspicious of their preparedness to use
right.
force or not use force in certain situations.
Well, and I think it's also a distraction. I mean, it's the same thing like when I'm asking us to rethink how we think about criminals, I'm not actually thinking like we need to go to each individual criminal and evaluate their moral, because average humans, I think personally, are not particularly very moral a lot of times, that we act
yeah.
in kind of selfish, self-interested ways. It's
yeah.
more understanding why we do that. And the same thing with the police. If you're like, my uncle's a really great cop, that's great. I just think what we ask of the police is weird, and how we think of what they're doing, and it kind of leads to these situations where we are uncomfortable asking them to be accountable, because we ask so much of them that it's like, well, then we, you know, I don't want to question them. And well, but they need, you know, we need to be able to question folks whose job it is to sometimes, you know, put people in harm's way or decide who should be put in harm's way. We have to be able to evaluate that. And I think for me, rather than worry about the individual upstandingness of folks, is to think about, well, how does this function and why does it function this way, and what can be changed about that? So, apologies then if you are sensitive to this issue for the next four songs. Short songs, but all of them are about the police.
I think we should, yeah. So, let's take it as a block, and we will hear all of these songs right now on Remix Tape. Thank you for listening.
Real, I'm running, police on my back. I've been hiding, police on my back. They were shooting, police on my back. And the victim really won't come back. I've been running Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Running down the railway track. Could you help me? Police on my back. Catch me if I dare drop back. Come and give me all the speed I had. I've been running Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. What have I done? I'm still running down the railway track. Could you help me? Police on my back. They will catch me if I dare drop back. Come and give me all the speed I had. I've been running Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Running down the railway track. Yes, I'm running. Police on my back. Yes, I'm running. Police on my back. Yes, I'm running. Police on my back. I'm still running down the railway track. Could you help me? Police on my back. They will catch me if I dare drop back. I've been running Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Running, police on my back. Yes, I'm a running. Police on my back. Yes, I'm a running. Police on my back. Yes, I'm a running. Police on my back. What have I done? Tell me. Please, somebody.
Oh, hello. This is Remix Tape.
Hi there.
So we're back with Liam. We just heard a block of songs about the police. So what did we just hear? What would you like to say about these?
Well, I mean, I think they're pretty self-explanatory in a lot of ways, but I just want to mention what we heard. Police on My Back is a song that was made popular by The Clash, but that was The Equals, sort of 60s post-Beatles garage rocky band, multiracial group. I don't know a lot about them. If someone is an Equals expert and wants to let us know, that would be cool. But I like that song. Next was The Specials. That's a shout out to my man Justin Harlan, who might never listen to this, but he loves ska. I don't, but that song is good. Then I had to put one of two screamy songs, because that's who I am. And so I put on Police Story by Black Flag, which I think is an interesting song because it's an angry song. It's sort of a song that's frustrated with the police, but it's also a bit of a hopeless song. You know, in the song he says, you know, they hate us, we hate them, we can't win. And I think it's sort of a statement of that time. As I said, the way that criminal justice works in this country is very racialized. And then the times when it's not, it actually helps us think about the times when it is. So the fact that in the early 80s, being a punk was actually dangerous for some weird reason. Like, as someone who grew up in punk, I think it's actually pretty tame. You know, there's nothing about it actually anymore that's dangerous at all. But the members of Black Flag had police files. Like, all the punks in LA had police files about them. There were some gangs and stuff, but for the most part, these were just angry, mostly white kids who, you know, might spray paint something, but they were treated like criminals of the state, like political types, and police would bust up shows and beat up 15-year-olds, and it was crazy. And so that's sort of what Police Story is about, is that if this is an actual war, what can kids possibly do? Like, there's no upside. They're not going to defeat the police. You know, that's sort of the frustration, I think. In that situation, it's somewhat trivial because all those kids, I mean, if you ever see the movie Afropunk, that talks about the experience of black folks in the punk community, you know, white punks can get jobs. And a lot of them did. They got suits and jobs and they went on with their lives. Not all of them, but a lot did. But the idea that the fear of the community to protect itself using the police is such that we're even going to beat up these kids, some of which might go on to be, you know, members of the community that we consider quote unquote respectable. It helps us look at these other folks who weren't given those opportunities, that black punks, even if they dressed the way they were supposed to, couldn't become white people. So they were going to be treated in a racist society that way. Or if you were queer or trans, like, you couldn't just easily conform in some cases. Some cases you could. Maybe you could sort of pass in some way. But what I like about that song, besides that it rips, is this idea of there's no one to go to for justice when your enemy is justice, when justice is the one. And
when it dictates that you don't even have basic rights.
Right.
If you're a minor.
Right. And so that is then my transition to the next song, which also rips. I don't know if I should say the name of the band, because in our country, it could be a reference to something untoward. But it's a British band that is referring to a term for a young person in Cockney, which is a certain kind of sparrow, but they change a little bit. So if you know the band, you know it's not actually an offensive term, but you know, I don't want to get us in trouble. And their song Riot Squad. And Riot Squad is great because it's about getting a little bit older and finding out your most delinquent, most troublesome, most like out there friend has joined the police. And now he's out there cracking heads of the people in his community. And what I like about the song is that it kind of represents the idea that, like, sometimes it's easier just to join the team, you know? And again, that's not to say that everyone is like that, but this is coming out of a community where there was a lot of violence between youth, between soccer fans and other sort of people we would call hooligans and the police. And the idea that, like, when it feels like a battle, you might change sides because it's safer and you can get money and you can live. So, I liked it because it's a little more sympathetic, but I also liked it because it was those two songs, Police Story and Riot Squad, helped me transition to our next sort of block of songs. The next two songs, we can actually put the next four if we want, but the next two I want to talk about, and I'll talk about the other ones if we get there. Trouble Man by Marvin Gaye and Superfly by Curtis Mayfield. It's hard to find songs that talk about the ways that sometimes we glorify criminals. Criminals, when you're feeling like the law and the society and the establishment is against you, criminals can kind of become rebels, you know? It reminds me of the Malcolm X quote. He says, you know, if people get their way and all the civil rights leaders die, all you'll have is the pimps and the hustlers. If that's who you'll have to deal with next, if we're gone. And in a sense, in the culture, in the popular culture, both these films kind of represent that idea that, like, Trouble Man and Superfly, they're not very morally upright. They're not, they're kind of misogynist in their own way. Mm-hmm. They are not people who you could trust, but they're independent and they're free. And I think that's why we sometimes glorify crime a little bit, is that idea of, like, being independent, of not being under someone's foot. The songs after that come at it from a different angle that's more about being an outcast, which is sort of my other thing. If we had more time, I was trying to do more songs also about being a rebel and not just a criminal. But I think there's something related. Sometimes you get a Han Solo who's a rebel and a criminal. It's a really nerdy reference, I know, but
you do. No, well, you know, I think there are a lot of Han Solo fans out there maybe who need to be reminded that he's a criminal.
This is a bad man.
What I was thinking before we play this next set, I just wanted to respond to one idea that you had there. It's a kind of Robin Hood sort of prototype that some of these characters fit into. The ones that are on the fringe and they're committing bad acts. That's why I think we're so interested in the mafia.
Right.
And in organized crime and you know, pimps and stuff, is because, you know, there is an inner circle, and the people in the inner circle, the family, the people close to you, get taken care of. The implication being that society isn't going to take care of these people. Like in Goodfellas, it starts off with this little kid, right?
Right.
It's like, where's that little kid headed if he doesn't have the protection of the mob? So there's something there, I guess, that I understand. It taps into the Robin Hood thing, but
I think it's related to the state, and it's related to how we're changing how we view the state and what it supplies us, but also the ways that when the police become your enemy, you look to other places or what the police represent, which is sort of the establishment. You look to these other sources. I
sometimes for order.
Yeah, for a sense of order, for in some cases social services, for whatever.
Right.
I would point sort of culturally a little bit to a friend of mine, Adam Kotzko, who teaches at Scheimer College. He wrote a series of books, one of which is called Why We Love Sociopaths. And it's basically looking at modern sort of popular media, and one of the things he talks about is the Sopranos and the idea that, like, these are awful humans, and yet, you know, or another example would be Breaking Bad. You can even make an argument for Mad Men that there's something about these characters, and his argument is they are claiming something that we feel we're being denied. That's an oversimplification because he has a lot of complicated deconstruction of capitalism and neoliberalism in there, but at base, part of what's going on there is this idea that we want that feeling of independence, that we can stand for ourselves. I think those examples he's looking at are the most the least interesting in some ways because of where they're coming from. Trouble Man and Superfly, they're not facing the idea of being denied something. Their fellows, other black folks that they're in community with, are being denied something. And so they're really put in a situation in the context of those films where they feel like they either choose to be free, which also means being violent and selfish, or they choose to be subservient, and that's the choice in front of them. And I would personally say that's probably not true, but I think both those films, more Trouble Man because I think it's a better movie, really paint that picture. And that idea that when you're denying the independence and the strength of people, they're going to look for other ways to find that dignity, you know, even if those ways are violent and whatever else.
And I think these anti-heroes who are living in, you know, under the consequences of this, racial segregation, and all of these other economic inequalities that come from it, are more interesting characters. I don't think that these anti-heroes you just mentioned are as interesting for the reason right. that they're already kind of sitting pretty in a way, if you look right. at who they are and where they come from. And it's hard for me to feel the same kind of I don't know.
Well, they don't elicit compassion. They're not actually in a yeah. desperate situation. But I think
I guess maybe Walter White is. I've never seen it, by the way. I'm like the only person who hasn't. But like,
well, I think it's also, where does that anti-hero come from? I mean, I think part of the reason you get some of those characters in the blaxploitation films is because the anti-hero in general is popular. But a lot of the 70s anti-hero, it's not always clear why they're so angry or what's going on. But when you watch a blaxploitation film, even if the character is almost unlikable, oftentimes, not always, some of these movies were just crass money grabs. But the ones that work out, you're like, I get why this person is doing this. Like, this is why they're in this situation. This is why they're making these choices, even if I don't agree with those choices.
Yeah.
Well, let's listen to the songs.
Yeah, let's play some music. So, this is Remix Tape. I'm not going to read a PSA because I just tend not to do that. So here is the next block.
Checking trouble, sugar, moving down the line. I come apart, baby, but that's okay, 'cause trouble, man, don't get in my way. I come apart, baby. I've been for real, baby. Gonna keep moving. Sweat me, babe. Moving down the line.
It's Remix Tape.
Hi.
And we have our final talking block before we play out on a couple, the last two tracks of Liam's mix. So we've reached essentially the end of our discussion of your mixtape.
Yeah.
What have we left open? Or are there any final
theses
you'd like to offer?
Well, there's a lot of songs I didn't have time for or we couldn't play for content. One of the ones we were mentioning, as I mentioned early on, was that Dead Press song, Hell Yeah. And what I find compelling about that song is the idea that, like, you know, you might be someone out there who is thinking about breaking the law. And what the song sort of subtly does is kind of get you to think about, like, how you do that and why you do that.
Mm.
And I don't think that's interesting because I'm hoping to go out there and do something illegal because I don't really need to, but I think what it kind of gets us to a position of doing is thinking, like, well, why do people sometimes break the law, and what is sort of at stake? And I would hope that part of what left reaction or left revolutionary types can do is, like, encourage people to use their energy for more positive things. I mean, that's how I look at crime, is that, like, in the end, it's a lot of work for actually not a lot of benefit. Like, it's actually hard, and there are those few people who are getting by and making a lot of money, but it's actually pretty rare. And most folks, it's just something you do because you're desperate and you don't see another option. And it'd be really great if we could offer people options that, like, change the world. But the other thing I think is that sometimes people who we think of as criminals are not necessarily, you know, thieves or whatever it is that we are concerned about, morally speaking, but that people are trying to rebel because they don't feel like they fit. And so I think these last two, mm-hmm. we're skipping The Ghost of Tom Joad, because it's a little obvious, but and we don't have enough time. But I think Ghost of Tom Joad really talks about it. It's sort of the darker version of the Big Rock Candy Mountain, in that it's folks sort of living on the edge, trying to like survive and get by. But then there's two songs I definitely want to make sure we include that are completely unrelated, but also related at the same time. One is a song called Outcast Stomp by Gloss, which stands for Girls Living Outside Society's Word I Can't Say on the Radio. And Gloss is a collective of cis and trans women who are playing very aggressive music with the idea of standing up for outsiders, for people who are even outsiders within the punk community, a community that's supposed to be for outsiders, but often is not. The other song is The World Turned Upside Down, a Billy Bragg song about the Diggers. And the Diggers were a bunch of religious folks in England who felt like common spaces should be used to help people, and thought that public property was a problem. And what I like about ending with both these songs is that they sort of point out the idea that sometimes people live on the edge either because of who they are. These folks who are sex workers or maybe committing various small forms of crime or just trying to get by in some way that we find untoward. Oftentimes it's related to identity. And then sometimes people are crushed and murdered because of what they believe in. The Diggers, to me, are the most bland kind of religious community in a lot of ways. And yet they were just straight up murdered because they wanted to help people. And they're not the only ones. And as someone who is connected to the church and my marriage and in some way some of my beliefs, I really like when folks stand up for something that feels like a bad idea, but it also feels like the right thing to do. And I guess that's sort of the upswing of this, is to try to be more like the Diggers, even if they send in the people to teach us to follow the rules.
Yeah. Well, that's a great way to sum up your mix. I hope that this reached some of you in the airwaves.
Yeah.
This message of just don't sticking up for stuff that you think is wrong.
Yeah.
And we're going to play out on these two songs next week. Our next guest is my friend Olga Rodriguez-Ulloa, who's coming on.
She's so great.
She's really great. She's going to come on and share punk, but Peruvian punk, that she works on, but possibly other things.
She really likes metal, too.
Yeah.
So she should play some metal, because I think that would really bum people out.
Well, yeah, we don't have enough metal on the show, so I would love that. But she'll be here. And I'm going to play out these songs, and Liam and I have some ham sandwiches to eat.
Love ham sandwiches.
Right now. I prefer pastrami, but we just have ham
sandwiches. Is what it is.
Okay, so this has been Remix Tape. Thank you, Liam.
No, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
No worries. Come back again. Okay, listen to these songs.
Yeah. 1649 to St. George's Hill. A ragged band they called the Diggers came to show the people's will. They defied the landlords, they defied the laws. They were the dispossessed, reclaiming what was theirs. We come in peace, they said, to dig and sow. We come to work the lands in common and to make the waste grounds grow. This earth divided, we will make whole. So it will be a common treasury for all. The sin of property we do disdain. No man has any right to buy and sell the earth for private gain. By theft and murder they took the land. Now everywhere the walls spring up at their command. They make the laws to chain us well. The clergy dazzle us with heaven or they damn us into hell. We will not worship the God they serve, the God of greed who feeds the rich while poor men starve. We work, we eat together, we need no swords. We will not bow to the masters or pay rent to the lords. We are free men, though we are poor. You diggers all stand up for glory, stand up now. Men of property, the orders came. They sent the hired men and troopers to wipe out the diggers' claim. Tear down their cottages, destroy their corn. They were dispersed, but still the vision lingers on. You poor take courage, you rich take care. This earth was made a common treasury for everyone to share. All things in common, all people one. We come in peace, the orders came to cut them down.